Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh, last time it was a horse-based disgrace. Welcome to the Farmyard Animal Pig Special, episode 141 of the Luke and Pete Show.
An Animal Farm VHS found in Daddy's collection.
Animal Farm by the Kinks, one of my favourite Kink songs. Those two things are not related.
What does it go like?
It goes, on Animal Farm, my animal home. On Animal Farm, my animal home.
That sounds dreadful.
I've done it.
Hang your head, the Kinks.
I've done it a disservice.
I think we did a lot of things a disservice last week.
The first few notes there were way off.
Animal.
Yours is at a full farm as well.
Yeah.
Like anaphylactic shock.
Yeah, that's well, if you were allergic to farmer animals, perhaps that would be in your future.
Yeah, maybe.
Hope not.
Horses go into anaphylactic shock? Any veterinarians who are still listening after last week?
Well, this is the
please
thing.
Get in touch.
This is the thing, and of course, as not at all surprising to people listening at home, we've received a bucket load of horse-related emails.
Oh, no.
It's kind of how this show tends to work, but we'll get through some of them later, I'm sure. But you're right to ask that question, Pete Donaldson, and I'll tell you why. Because as soon as I establish via you that horses can't vomit and they have this issue with
their tum-tums,
I'm thinking straight away, what other things can't they do? What other sort of evolutionary things have happened to them? And indeed, any other animal?
Any other animal?
As we mentioned before, like people saying dogs can't look up and all that kind of stuff.
Didn't I introduce you to the phenomena that is the old ambergris as well? Last week.
Remind me again.
It's the stuff that you find in whales' guts. That they make perfume out of.
I don't think you mentioned
that
it.
I'm
mate.
Obsessed. I definitely did.
Don't you mention it?
But yeah. So what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? So it's Monday. Do not despair, despite my horrendous singing. the week's not going to be that bad. At least you can vomit if you need to.
Exactly. We've always got that option.
Yeah,
Monday,
that option.
Tuesday, happy days. We can all vomit any of those days.
We can.
A lot of my best vomiting on a Friday or a Saturday.
Yeah, I can imagine that's absolutely true. Mm. Did you do some vomiting this weekend?
I did not, no.
No, good.
I stayed in on Saturday and watched 4 episodes of True Detective and ate a lot of crisps, which would usually lead me to vomit. But
I'm on episode 4 of season 3 of True Detective. Yeah. It's brilliant.
It is very good.
Very good.
A return to form.
Very, very well acted. Mm. Very atmospheric.
And also, I quite like the fact that you could figure out what timeline we're in due to the haircuts.
It's almost the only way.
Yeah.
That's how I do it. Yeah, that's how I do it.
That's how I do it. Well, one of them's very obvious.
You say it's a return.
Because he's an old man.
You say it's a return to form after season 2. And I agree with you.
Might.
But I haven't even looked at season 2 because it got Vince Vaughn in it.
You'd completely.
I'm not having Vince Vaughn in this serious role. I'm just not having it.
He was in, wasn't that how he made his name? Swingers or Slickers or whatever the hell it was called.
I respect his...
I liked him in Starsky and Hutch.
Cojones, to get in there and say, I want to do a serious role. No problem with that. It's very similar to when... there's less money involved. Mm. It's very similar to when you and I decided that we wanted to make a show that wasn't about football anymore. People could have said, I'm not having those two, it's not football.
No.
And that's fair enough. And I don't want to be like that. But on the other hand, I'm not having Vince Vaughn in that.
If they listen to us being authorities on football, you particularly, because I'm no authority on football and you're somewhat of an authority on football,
not really.
I think they'll trust us with anything.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Come along, you'll enjoy it. Come along for the ride, you'll enjoy it.
Vince Vaughn's last film that I watched and interviewed him for was something, Fight on Cell Block 99 or some bollocks like that.
Right.
And it was one of the worst films I've seen in a long time. He was, they kept on sort of saying that he's got muscles. He's like, I think I mentioned it on the show, in fact. He was like sort of saying, hey, well, will you used to be a boxer or something? And he goes, no. And he goes, well, how do you get those muscles? He doesn't have those muscles. He clearly, as part of the role, should have worked out.
Yeah, but he didn't.
But he didn't. He just went, I'll make do.
Nice chap, though.
He was a nice chap.
Have I done him a disservice?
But he had a little joke. He had a little joke that he, I think I said personal brand at one point, and he would not stop talking. He would not stop saying personal brand. I'm working on my personal brand. Personal brand. He would not stop saying personal brand and doing little jokes and stuff. Right. And by the end, it was actually quite excruciating.
So you didn't like him because he was taking the piss out of you?
He wasn't taking the piss out of me. He was trying to do a bit, and he just wasn't really getting there for me, to be all quite right. frank. Hey, Luke, I'm off to Taiwan in a couple of weeks' time, so I'm trying to learn a couple of Mandarin words because I find Mandarin incredibly difficult because it's all tonal. But I want to show you how I'm doing it.
Okay.
How do you say it? Mnemonics. Mnemonics.
Mnemonics, yeah. Johnny mnemonic.
Say again. Johnny mnemonic. Yeah. Was that all? So look at how I am learning. So I'd like is Wo Shang Yao. And I've got a picture of Joy from Blossom.
Yeah.
Remember Joy from Blossom?
I do.
What was his catchphrase?
I can't remember.
It was whoa.
Whoa.
He's go whoa like that. Wo Shang Yao. And then I've got is My Dan.
That's Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
Bruce Dickinson.
Yeah, and you can't really see it, but basically Eddie's holding instead of a flag with the British flag all torn up.
He's holding the bill.
He's holding the bill. So that's how I've sort of noticed. The Wachi, which sounds a little bit like double chin.
Does it though?
Does a little bit. So that's how I.
Are you going to use any of these?
Yin Yu English. So I've got the yin yang sign, but Sam, I want you. So I'm.
Are you going to use any of these?
Well, it's helped me remember things. I'm just saying, if anyone's trying to learn a language or anything, really. Mnemonics are really good.
I've never visited that part of the world, so excuse me if this is a naive question, but how many, what's the percentage of people who can speak any sort of English?
Well, quite a lot. There's more English speakers than in, say, Japan. Japanese have quite a low level of English.
But not in Europe.
Sorry?
But surely not when compared to Europe. I mean, Europe, there'd be a lot of much higher prevalence.
Oh, yeah.
What about in the US?
Speakers. What do you mean?
Do you know what's been floating my boat this week?
What?
And I saw this and I thought, straight away, I'm going to have to bring this to the Luke and Pete show. Or LAPS, as I sometimes call it for shorthand.
Right, okay.
A psychologist escaped a fine and won an appeal after driving through a bus gate. And the way she successfully argued it is because she said there are actually literally too many signs on the road for the human brain to process at the same time.
Oh, that's interesting. She escaped the fine.
Well, yeah, so Essex County Council have apparently taken £1.5 million in 18 months because 54,000 drivers were fined using the channels for Busgate, right? And Dr. King, who she's apparently published several academic papers on how people process visual information. They picked the wrong driver to fuck with, said the Busgate. It was endangering lives because once you've committed to turn left, you have no way of safely turning around, all the rest of it. Mm. And she said people panic and said to consciously process all the information, it would take a few seconds. And by that point, at the speed you're traveling, you've already gone 20 feet down the road. So it's almost impossible to not do it. I just love that. I just love the idea that they've set up a sweet little stealth tax.
A new rule book, she said.
I don't want to get Jeremy Clarkson about it.
Yeah.
But it's a sweet little stealth tax that the county council have set up, and they know that they do that kind of stuff. And at that point, they fuck with the wrong person. She's literally published academic papers proving stuff. And it looks like now it might be the whole road thing might be changed and they might not be able to do it anymore.
Right.
So good news for consumers, Pete.
Great news for consumers.
More news as we get it. It's back to you, Adrian.
Who is the dad of Michael Douglas? It's Kirk Douglas. Did you know that he is older than sliced bread, Pete's trivia fact?
What a truth bomb.
Truth bomb.
I know he's 102.
Yeah.
When this sliced bread
he's probably older
in.
Than a lot of stuff, to be fair.
When this sliced
bread, I think, came in 1926, and he was born in 1916?
Yeah, must be. Yeah. Did you know that he's also older than star of the Christmas film Home Alone, Macaulay Culkin?
I was thinking, oh, well, my nan's older than that. She's like, well, no, she's clearly not. She's dead. So I think she was born in 1908. I was like, ugh.
She's
not alive. I know. Yeah, she made it 96. Pretty good innings.
Good, very
pretty good innings. I was reading about. I would like to get the email up, but the fucking Wi-Fi in here is dreadful. Basically, I've been reading about, slash watching a video about, a really expensive hot dog stands in New York.
Okay.
Apparently, right, some New York, you got to pay a tax, you got to pay a license, you got to pay for a license to sell hot dogs in New York. Basically, you know, dispense food poisoning for hot dogs. Mm. Hot dogs. And, yeah, there are certain spots that are like, couple of grand a year for that license.
Oh, right.
In less busy places, but they sort of go up in how busy the.
So, if you want to sell hot dogs in Times Square, you're paying a pretty penny.
I'll tell you what, the most expensive one. Guess how much the most expensive. I'll tell you where it is. The most expensive license for hot dog salesman is for a year. And it's in the. It's outside the zoo in Central Park.
Okay. And you said some of the quiet ones are a couple of thousand a year.
Yeah.
Okay. 50 grand.
Nope.
100 grand. It's more than that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's
how many?
It's into something like 236,000 grand. 1,000
grand.
1,000 grand. 2,000 pounds a year, which is incredible, isn't it?
So say.
They make so much money.
Say it's 200,000, yep. Right? And you say you're selling a hot dog for ten bucks, right?
10 bucks? Would you buy a hot dog for 10
bucks?
I'm just
saying it's going to be expensive.
Some street meat. You're gonna for 10
have to
bucks.
You're going to have to sell 20,000 a year.
It's about four.
Okay,
six.
So
food,
four.
Food in America is quite cheap, isn't it?
Okay, so say it's 200,000, right? We're going to do the maths because that's what it's all about on this show. And let's say it's $5 to make it easier.
Yeah.
All right. So you are going to have to sell 40,000 hot dogs a year to break even. That's just a break even. So just so you know, presuming you work every single day of the year and it's not a leap year, you have to sell 109 hot dogs a day just to get your head above water.
Would you not do that? Apparently, you sell. Apparently,
if you're out there for 12 hours, that is.
There is a reason why it's expensive. People do it. Yeah, 9 an hour. You would easily sell 9 hot dogs an hour. Just because you don't want one now.
I'm thinking bathroom. I always want one. I'm thinking bathroom breaks here.
I like frozen sausages. Yeah, but I think, would you not have like two people working it or something? I don't know. But either way, it's worth doing. Apparently, they make around about $500,000, cracking on for $500,000 a year, these stands that are in outside
what,
the
over and above? That's profit.
Yeah. Maybe the tigers are popping out and going, hot dog, please.
Horses going past. Horses. There's loads of horses at Central Park,
there
isn't there?
Yeah. They all live in weird converted
I feel sorry for them.
Houses. It's really weird. They live in these, there's these little kind of apartment buildings and they're converted. I don't know what they used to be, but they've been converted into stables. And some horses, I think, live on the first and second and third floor. It's really weird.
Well, they go up and lift.
At night, I don't know how they get up there. No.
It's because.
Winch them.
Because you know, cows can't go down the stairs, can they? So maybe if it's the same with horses, you're going to have to lift them up there. You're going to have to use what do they call it in the US? An elevator. Happy birthday to Jennifer Aniston. She's 50 today.
Oh, she's in a program called Puddings, which I've not watched.
She was all over the newspaper. Okay. She was all over the newspapers this morning because of her 50th birthday party, inviting all sorts of celebrities. Half expect to see Donaldson.
What do you mean?
Popping,
what,
out there.
Popping up saying what?
Just saying, all right. Because you were probably red carpet in the BAFTAs last night, were you?
No, but they did say that I don't really understand. The BAFTAs come out of nowhere, don't they? They say, the Oscars, the BAFTAs. Mm. It's kind of award season. Brits next week as well.
Mm. Oh, you'll be doing that?
I'll be doing red carpet on that,
okay.
Yeah.
You don't do BAFTAs? I don't let you do the films, no?
No, I have no reason
Free
to do
Solo
that.
Won a BAFTA?
For climbing. What is it for? BAFTA, best BAFTA for climbing.
As heard on this show, I mean, you can listen to Kermode and Mayo all you want, all right? And I listen to it myself. I enjoy it. On this show, I said, it'll get an Oscar. And it got nominated for an Oscar. We'll see if it wins it. And now it's won a BAFTA, which is apparently a good sign.
Well, you didn't say it was going to win a BAFTA. You should have gone for a BAFTA and then build
lower.
Up.
Should have gone lower.
Should have gone lower.
Yeah, it'll definitely go BAFTA.
It'll win
and
a Laurel.
Oscar nom. And I'd hope to see it win an Oscar. But it'll definitely win BAFTA. That's what I should have done. I've gone too high.
Do you know those kind of like laurels you get on like art house films or any film?
Well, it's like Cannes Film Festival, Sundance Film Festival.
If you've got like a film festival, are there more film festivals than ever? Because most films that you kind of see have those laurels. Like every last one has these kind of little kind of laurel things.
Well, there's a really good bit of like visual psychology you can do where, you know, and so at first glance, it will look like it's been selected for some film festival or it will look like it's got 5 stars.
Yeah.
But it's a trick of the poster. And I've also seen it done by motorcyclists who want to, who want people to think they're police. So they'll move. So cars will move out the way for them.
Right.
And they wear a lot of motorbike riders. Now you know what I'm about to tell you. Look out for it. You'll see it. So they wear high-vis jackets. Mm. On the back, in the police font, it says polite.
So really?
Yes, and underneath it says, notice, please move out of the way. So when you just look across, when you're a motorist and you look across...
You think it's a policeman.
Well, because you can't see, you don't spend a lot of time looking at it.
I have never seen someone wearing a yellow jacket tabard of either the left or the right wing riding with that. That's incredible.
Are you doubting that it exists?
I'm not doubting that it exists.
I'm telling you, look out for it.
Mm. I enjoy in America those big motorbikes that have big speakers on them. They're big old fat motorbikes. I don't know what they're called. They must be like, I guess it's like the equivalent of like the Lowrider or something that looks a bit cool. But they're these massive motorbikes that are almost cars. And there's no advantage riding those because you can't really sort of nip in between cars.
It's called a Honda Goldwing, isn't it?
Is it a Honda Goldwing?
I think so, yeah.
They always have big speakers.
It's got bars and everything over it, yeah. So it looks amazing. It looks like the sort of thing that...
it just looks so unmaneuverable.
Doc Brown would ride in Back to the Future 4 if that existed. Yeah, amazing.
Oh,
have you got any high vis at home?
Have I got any high vis at home?
You must have.
No, I've never been gifted the fire marshal.
People listening will think of your flat as the way I've described it, but they'll also imagine traffic cones in there and signs you've stolen for being outside and all that kind of thing.
I'm not a student, although I do live late.
Exactly, that's exactly my point.
Yeah.
Listen, after the break, we're going to do the email section, the often lauded email section.
Yes.
If you want to get in touch with it for a future episode, it's of course hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. And we'll be back just a few seconds after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
how to make a long egg.
Oh, you used that one on Thursday, Dawson.
Oh, I'll even use it again.
Long eggs.
Keith Cook is very much part of the ecosystem when it comes to laps.
The vernacular.
Laps is a little bit too close to laps, which is live action role playing.
Nothing wrong with that. Lightning bolt. Lightning bolt. Lightning bolt.
I wish I could just do that in real life. Lightning bolt. Shit, he's done a lightning bolt on me.
So are you suggesting because you've not got very good internet access, you can't do the emails? Do you want me to do the emails?
You're going to have to do some emails.
I'll do them and you react to them, okay?
Whoa, shit.
I've got two horse emails I'm going to do.
Okay. Two horse emails?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
After Thursday.
Oh, no.
What do you think a horse email is?
I've sent you a horse video and you would refuse to watch it. Or maybe you did. You were disgusted by it. That cyst. The draining of a horse cyst.
I'm not looking at that stuff.
It was about the size of, oh God, I'm trying to think what size it was. It was like a saddlebag, but it was a cyst. And they were draining it. And as you can imagine, like horses are massive. Yeah. And so if you've got like a cyst that's about the size of, I don't know, like a car wheel on the back of a horse's bum, this guy was just draining this cyst and it was just endless. Endless yellow juice.
What about that?
Oh, it was like eggnog.
Oh God, that is disgusting.
That's how you make eggnog.
What about that story I sent you about those amateur cyclists and their drug taking?
Oh, yes.
For those listening at home who are interested in cycling.
I think you said Bell's palsy. That's not at all, is it? The Pop Belge?
Yeah, I sent an article about Pop Belge. And essentially, as everyone probably knows, there's always been a sort of, you know, a slightly shady relationship between cycling and drug taking, as everyone understands. But on the amateur circuit, it's just a lot more like the Wild West. It's a lot less testing. It's a lot less, you know, scientific. And for years and years, and the reason I know about this is because of a guy called Tom Wally, who does a lot of podcasting. He's going to be involved in the second series about the match of Andy Brassel, and we've been chatting quite a lot.
He's going to be filling Andy Brassel with drugs.
So he can do more work.
He can do more work.
I'd love
to see Brassel off his nut. He's usually so relaxed and calm.
It would be fascinating. Tom is a...
You just want work!
Stop doing in-jokes. Everyone who's listening to this has not met Andy Brassel.
I mean, who knows? Like, if you just listen to Luke Beecher, you probably don't know who Andy Brassel is, but he does a couple of shows for the Radio Staccano Network. Yeah, and I had one impression of him, which doesn't really work.
No, yeah, exactly.
It's just him looking up and going, it just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Because he's just very relaxed. I could listen to Andy Brassel read the phone book. He has a wonderful, relaxed manner about him.
He's also one of the nicest men in the world.
Yeah.
Anyway.
How does he get away with that shit? Huh?
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Tom Wally, and Tom's actually a semi-pro cyclist, and he was telling me about Pop Belge, which is basically a load of heroin, cocaine, caffeine, and amphetamines all mixed together. And
you just sounds drop amazing.
It, drop it, and get on your bike. Get on your bike where you can still find it. Just start pedaling.
But it seemed like from the piece you sort of sent me to read about.
I'll share it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's just kind of fascinating that it seemed that a lot of the cyclists started taking it to be better at cycling. And then it just seemed they ended up cycling just to be able to take drugs.
Yeah.
They just become junkies because they just love that Pop Belge.
Exactly.
But they'd inject it into their legs and it would make a little sort of bubble. And it was like a time release kind of bubble for the drug to be, you know, to go into their veins. It sounds disgusting, but it also sounds a little bit like a pate.
Yeah, it does a bit.
Bit of Pop Belge on a cracker.
You can probably dip some toast in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the email section. Hello@lukeandpeachshow.com. And this one's from Luke Cunningham. He says, Hi, guys. Really enjoyed the chaotic and relaxed nature of your podcast. Can something be chaotic and relaxed?
If you're on Pop Bell, shoot, you can.
So particularly last week's equine-themed show. As you were probably made aware after your show, coincidentally, there is currently an outbreak of equine flu in Britain among some of the top racehorses. I was aware of that.
Achoo.
Very sad. Hope they feel better soon. Mm. What's even more curious, however, is that during your show, in which Pete made countless references to horse sex acts, Luke sounds like he's dying with some sort of flu. A virus of the equine variety that he contracted during the throes of passion with some poor sick horse. No, I just had a cold. I did say that at the top of the show, to be fair. He said, we'd love if you could clear this up on the show. And there you go, I have done. I don't think it's equine related. I feel much better today. But obviously, I can't be sure.
I told you a friend's dad once caught a man having sex with his horse. There you go. That's Hartlepool for you.
Yeah, I think you might have mentioned that. Yeah. That's the thing that...
I was just petting it! No, you weren't.
The thing that upsets me is that I'm not surprised when you say that to me now. I'm just like, oh yeah, did that happen or not? I can't remember. I've lost all perspective.
Mm.
When I get into this room with you, I lose all perspective. Luke also finishes with a PS by saying, I am the brother of the crazed Damien Cunningham, who emailed the Football Ramble suggesting that a team that won the FA Cup should get 10 points to their league campaign, and it filled Luke with rage. Yeah. Damien also messaged me on Instagram, slagging me off, because he was upset with his treatment.
I think you treated him shoddily.
But Luke says, Damien, eat shredded wheat with no milk or bowl, just a glass of water on the side for dipping.
Well,
judge the man on that basis.
Hang on. Whoa. So he takes individual shreddies.
Shredded wheat. The big one.
Oh, shredded wheat and dips them in water. That's joyless. That's
Brexit, isn't it?
I don't think it is Brexit.
That's what we're all doing after Brexit. And by shredded meat. Shredded meat. It'll be shredded meat.
Pulled pork.
By shredded wheat, I mean it'll be grass that you've pulled from the desiccated lawn outside the front of your house. So there we go. That's from Luke, brother of Damien, who is a frequenter of this parish.
That's
disgusting. We mean no ill will towards him, even if he does have some pretty funky ideas. What about this one from Mark in Newmarket? He says, hi guys, I thought I'd email in to tell you about the time I was bitten by a horse.
Was this at Newmarket?
No.
Isn't there a racing, I don't know what you call them, a wheel? Track?
Mark said, a wheel.
A racing wheel.
Mark says, I work in breeding racehorses and I went to do some work with stallions in Australia. So it wasn't in Newmarket.
Wow.
I mean, that's presumably why he's in Newmarket now, though. Mm. I said, for those of you who can't remember on Thursday, I said that my friend Jimmy was bitten by a horse. It was savage. Very, 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 very serious. Anyway, Mark picks up the story by saying, one day I was leading a stallion in from the paddock where there was a horse box driver trying to catch his mare in a muddy paddock next door. I quickly saw that he only had one leg and his prosthetic leg had got stuck in the mud. Serious, serious problem. Hmm. I shouted over to him that I would come and help him out, but I had to put the stallion in the box first. So they're both working on their horses, their respective horses.
Yeah.
You know, of course, Mark isn't going to give up on his horse to help the second guy. He's got to do his job first. Yeah. Before I had finished this sentence, however, the stallion had reached over my shoulder, sunk his teeth into my stomach, and threw me into the air. I held on to the lead and managed to get up and put the horse in the stable. I then crumbled to my knees before being rushed to hospital. Oof. After what I thought had been a lot of pointless fussing and scans, it turned out I had been quite lucky and the bite had been merely millimetres away from rupturing my liver.
Yeah, I mean...
And he's attached a picture...
Oh, let's have a look.
I can't show it because we haven't got bloody internet. Oh. I'll get it on the Twitter and I'll show you later. I've seen it. Oh. It is savage.
Is it like when Shea Given got his stomach burst by, I think, Dion Dublin?
Yeah, vaguely similar. If it were a mumblecore rapper,
right,
it would be 21 Savage. It was savage.
Yeah, I can
Mark
imagine
says,
that.
Big fan of the show, but I can also confirm horses can't be sick and they do die if they get colic and don't get surgery in time and they also have massive penises. We knew the second one there, but there we go. So Pete, more grist to your horses can't vomit mill.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I guess if you are a horse trainer or a horse guy who deals with stallions, especially if they're a bit bitey, maybe it makes sense to get a bit of fat on you so it eats the fat rather than bites your liver.
Yeah.
Bite your liver.
It's a bigger target, though, because I think you're going to be more likely...
How that man lose his leg? That's the question.
I'd love to know. Mark, get back in touch.
Yeah.
If you know how the guy lost his leg, if that was horse-related as well, we need to start recategorising horses as far more dangerous than we thought.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you something now, Pete Donaldson.
Hippos get all the bad press.
Exactly. If you walk through a field, if I put a field in front of you, so there you go, walk through that, and it's got a horse in it, you'll just do it.
Mate, I'm from the North East, I'll just knock it right out. Spark it right
with
out.
With a scarf around your face. Yeah. If it had a hippo in it, you wouldn't go near it.
No.
No way.
No way.
What sort of fence is keeping a hippo in anyway?
They are quite heavy, aren't they?
Yeah.
Electrified ones.
Let's finish with this email here from Keith Campbell. Apologies to everyone listening who prefers the Pete side of the ledger, but he's got no internet, so he can't do any work.
I can't do it, mate.
Keith Campbell says, chipping in with some hilarious dubs. This is movie swear words being dubbed. As per episode 139, the diehard dub that US audiences got was... Pete, do you want to give people the original line first?
I can only think of the Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah, this was dubbed apparently to Yippee-ki-yay, Melon Farmer.
Melon Farmer.
Yeah, and the Big Lebowski has one of the more famous ones in the scene where Walter goes ape on a Ferrari. His "This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass" is changed to "This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps." That's from Keith. And at what point here,
Donald,
Pete,
that's wonderful.
At what point do they start thinking that they're going to affect the plot of the movie?
Just fucking bleep it. Come on.
Yeah, because presumably that's done in the broadcast studio at ITV or whatever. Right? Late on. It's done late on.
Yeah.
So it's probably some work experience. who's doing it with a voiceover.
No, you probably got like a, you'll have like a VO, proper VO. I mean, films used to be way more important to TV channels than they are now, I think it's fair to say. Well, they're quite expensive films.
But my point is, the weirder the dubs get, the more chance you've got of confusing people with the plot.
Because that's what you get when you find it.
If you find a stranger in the Alps. I mean, this Big Lebowski's set in the Midwest, isn't it? In a bowling alley.
Yeah. I think we all know what's gone on there. If you're watching that film. Dreadful.
Yeah. I think it's creative at the very least.
They've done well.
Look, let's get out of here, Peter. We're back on Thursday with some more. Pete will get his shit together, we hope.
I beg your pardon.
Well, the thing is, it's annoying for the listeners because you've had a creative high point on Thursday. They've all loved it.
Did you see the chimpanzees escaping from Dublin Zoo or was it?
Largest zoo in the world, isn't it?
Might mean Dublin Zoo.
It's the largest zoo in the world.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it keeps Dublin, yeah.
I should not have fallen for that. Yeah. I think it was Dublin Zoo. I can't remember. Either way, some chimpanzees escaped from the zoo and they were just running around and like people were just filming them as they were running around.
I'd be scared of a chimp. I remember reading about a chimp ripping a woman's face off.
Yeah, but I mean...
Don't put your face in the way.
Don't give it a hug. Yeah. But it was the same zoo that I think 3 weeks ago lost a red panda.
Oh, that's terrible.
Just, there's a lack of diligence in this.
And they are not pandas, by the way.
They're not, no.
There needs to be an investigation there. Can red pandas or chimpanzees vomit? Find out on Thursday. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com to get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. It doesn't have to be horse-related, but it can be if you
Again,
want.
Again, it's been horse-related.
And we'll see you on Thursday for episode 142.
Have you ever drained a horse's cyst?
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.